I do that, really. I want to talk a little bit about the categories. Because as we've said, we begin where it's easy. And we work with each category in a way, because each category is sequentially a little more difficult. So it's like entering deep, cold water, one step at a time. On a hot day, you know, you're diving in is slowly. It becomes gradually pleasant. So we work with these categories as a way of modulating the difficulties we encounter. Because if we started where it's most difficult, we'd just get totally overwhelmed with whatever is arising as a response to these people and our relationship to them and all the stories and all the conditioning. So we start where it's relatively easy. Whereas Aria said yesterday, the goodness is apparent. And this is why we start with a benefactor. Because benefactors are usually people we don't know so well. And something they have done has really given us something of value in our lives. So we feel grateful. We see the goodness in them. Traditionally here in Burma, people use teachers, meditation teachers or worldly teachers. Teachers in Burma are incredibly respected. And so often it's a teacher or a grandparent. And we incline to the goodness of this person. And may my teacher be well, happy, and peaceful. And when we resonate with that goodness, the heart opens and the metta really begins to flow. And then, of course, we encounter the dear friend category next. And these are people we're more intimate with. We know them very well. There might be a natural loving relationship. But these people bring up a whole suite of things. Often at first, oh, it's so nice. But then, oh, you know what really bugs me about that person? Oh, I had no idea that bothered me. Or we feel attachment. So because we're intimate with these people, there tends to be more and more small challenges, usually, in this category. The neutral person is a challenge because of simple connection and the lack of it. These people, we don't know them well. We might be able to imagine what they look like, but we don't know the story of their life. We don't have a connection with them that we can actually feel. So we don't love them or hate them, but connecting is a real challenge. And then we come to difficult people and enemies, and the challenge here is obvious. Various kinds of challenge, actually. And then all beings, which is a little like the neither loved nor hated person magnified exponentially, because it's all beings and who knows who all those beings are and how to connect with them. It's a real challenge for a lot of people sometimes. So we go through these categories as a way of practicing sequentially with the obstructions to metta that will naturally come up, as Aria said yesterday. It's completely natural that obstructions arise. They're supposed to. If no obstructions arise, probably not doing the practice in the way that is allowing purification. You might be encountering a lot of concentration. But the nature of metta practice is everything that isn't metta comes up to be encountered and worked with. So the categories allow this really practical, grounded in our life story, purification of these obstructions. And I find it really interesting to reflect when I think about the categories, is what makes one category hard or not? What causes challenge? And invariably, it's something in me that reacts to the story I tell myself about this person or something they've done or something, some quality of their nature. And so what obstructs metta, in Pali the word is kilesa, and often what we encounter when we're working with these categories are what we call anusya kilesa. So hindrances, unwholesome mind states, and anusya in Pali means latent. So latent, the English translation of anusya kilesa are latent defilements. And I really don't like that English word because it's so loaded. But latent, unwholesome mind states that color the mind. And latent because we haven't been aware of them. It's like we've planted seeds in the mind stream that grow and flourish depending on conditions. So when we sit down, we get quiet and we begin to see all these things. So unwholesome mind states, whether we're talking about simple hindrances to concentration or we're talking about defilements that color the mind, it's really, really natural that they come up, particularly early in a retreat. I want to talk about them a little bit because not as a list of, say, hindrances, you're all very familiar with them probably, but more how do we deal with these? What, at a process level? When we first sit, whether we're just sitting in our, you know, our daily practice or in a retreat, often one of the first things we notice is restlessness and how much the mind moves habitually. It's one of those habits we have. We live in a world, we're marinating in this culture that is so overstimulated. Even if we're not internet natives, we've all taken it up. And so when we sit down, close our eyes, begin to do something more simple and one thing at a time, restlessness is a natural consequence of that. So it's just one thing that we might encounter right at the beginning. In metta practice, restlessness is often hooked into the phrase. So we might have thoughts, oh, maybe this isn't the right phrase, or maybe this, you know, if we have, say, a native language that's mainstream and then a dialect, as many of you from Holland, you know, you might have a dialect as your birth language, as well as Dutch, and you're equally fluent in both. And then you, well, should I say my phrase in this dialect, or should I use Dutch, or should I use English? A lot of the thinking that comes around the phrase when we think about it, or is it the right phrase, want it, you know, just the right phrase, a lot of this is simple restlessness, taking the phrase as the object. Or perhaps it's the person. Oh, maybe not the right person. Should I choose this person? Should I choose that person? And that's just restlessness. There's so many difficult mind states we encounter along the way. And as we go through the categories, of course, we deal with the deeper roots, not just the superficial things like restlessness, but the deeper roots, the deeper unwholesome mind states that we do call defilements, basically greed, hatred, delusion, and the different flavors of that. And one thing I wanted to share, I'm going to go over a little bit because of our technical difficulties. One thing I wanted to share is a really famous line in the suttas, where the Buddha says, the nature of the mind is radiant. It's shining. It is because of visiting forces that we suffer. It really helps to remember this. The nature of the mind is radiant. Mind is naturally radiant and pure. And so these visiting forces, these obstructions to metta that might come up, these defilements, these hindrances, any unwholesome mind states that arise, whether superficial and annoying or deep and really powerfully difficult, are visitors. And that's one of the main things I want you to take away about these. Because we tend not to relate to them as visitors. We tend often to relate to them as problems, first of all, that we have to fix. And this, of course, is just more resistance. It's a way of magnifying the suffering. And it's a way of actually indirectly feeding these unwholesome mind states. But they're just visitors. And as you know, the first noble truth is the noble truth of suffering. If we're suffering in the practice, this is the very place, is the place to practice. It's not a problem. It's our doorway in to all manner of Dhamma, to liberating insight, to deepening of metta. So, notice how you're relating to these things. Really, that's the bottom line. And if you find you're relating to them as a problem that you have to fix, just pause for a moment. Feel what that state is doing to your body. Hold that experience with metta, with that attitude of friendly kindness. If it's intense, you can radiate metta for yourself. And the next thing that often comes paired with this idea that it's a problem is how we identify with these states. We own them. They are us. You know? We tell ourselves story. Oh, I'm a docita. You know, we put them on as a kind of a identity. Oh yes, this is very familiar. I do this all the time. Or maybe it's more subtle than that. Maybe it's just this is I, me, or mine. This state belongs to us, reflects about us, reflects about our practice. So we deeply identify often with these states. But remember anatta, that beautiful quality of not self. The Buddha said very clearly, all conditioned phenomena are anatta, not self. Not a self, not belonging to a self. None of these are us or ours. And what comes with just touching that as a reflection is, first of all, the understanding these states are not permanent. They come and they go, just like everything. That's why they are not us. Well, there is no sense of self. So these states arise and pass away. Notice that just in your experience, in the metta practice. It's important to remember this Most of us know this very well, even from our own Vipassana experience. Oh yeah, you know, anatta, I know this. But the thing about anatta is we forget it. And then something difficult comes up and we go, oh, here is that again. And we project ourselves into a future, next week, next month, the rest of our life, that is all woven around this momentary state that comes and goes. The other thing that's very common, in addition to projecting into a future, is eternalizing. So, oh, this is always going to be this way. This is only the third day of the retreat. What's next week going to be like? And we judge them because, and we judge ourselves because, of course, you know, we don't want to be this irritation or this fear or this impatience or this boredom. We want to have good practice. We want to be a good yogi. And here is this. It's a problem. And, you know, the mind can spin. You see how I'm talking quickly on purpose. It's like it gets frantic to deal with this. The paradox is all we need to do is stop. Drop into the feeling of that. Hold it with metta. And keep simply doing the practice. There's nothing really we have to do with them. They're not a problem. They're just quickly arising states, coming and going, coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. And one thing you can notice about the metta, if your mindfulness is very strong, any mind state actually, is how there is this oscillation in the mind. If the metta is mixed sometimes with difficult mind states. There's a moment of metta or a couple of moments, and then a flash of some difficult state, and then the metta again. And it, you know, the mind is constantly going back and forth. Nothing is permanent. Nothing is lasting for more than a microsecond. So to remember this, even just as a reflection, can be very useful when we're dealing with these states. And to remember, not because they don't belong to us, because they are our doorway into freedom, into deepening of metta, they're actually valuable rather than that problem that we make and, you know, turn the problem into us. So when these states arise, and I say when rather than if, because they will, it's inevitable. With the metta practice, the simplicity of the practice is so beautiful because all we have to do is feel that and keep going with the metta. May I be well, happy, and peaceful. May I be well, happy, and peaceful, whatever it is. Letting that state be in the background, holding it in this beautiful container of metta. So I want to stop there, but really to encourage you, we don't have to make friends with these difficult states. We don't have to love them. But to relate to them as that doorway into metta, into freedom, into deepening of Dhamma, because that's what they are. And working with them in the practice is so incredibly freeing, because it just simply allows us to rest. It's so exhausting to be constantly resisting things that naturally are arising because of our conditioning. Constantly craving purity is just craving. But being able to rest in the present moment with kindness, regardless of what arising is arising, that is freedom. That is kindness. That is both metta and sati. We don't have to feed it. But there it is. And so patience that I was talking about yesterday manifests as just this willingness to be with, to hold, no matter what. May I be well, happy, and peaceful anyway. This word is just so precious. Somebody was mentioning it yesterday so much in my practice, and I share it a lot because it's what makes metta alive for me sometimes when these obstructions do arise. When these visitors come, I don't have to slam the door in their face. And that's what allows them to go. So allowing these visitors to come, be known, radiate metta through them, around them, and they will go by themselves. That's their nature. So thank you for your kind attention. I want to begin the practice now. Today, again with a benefactor, the second day. And today, before you actually, you know, sit as you're adjusting your posture, today we'll choose a second benefactor. So just take a moment as you're adjusting your posture and preparing to sit to reflect about who you will take as your second benefactor. They don't have to be any more difficult than the first, just another person who immediately comes to mind when you think of somebody who's benefited you, whose goodness is very easy to connect with. And as you adjust your posture and get comfortable, eyes open or closed, taking that moment to connect with yourself sitting here, connect with the heart center. And you can put your hand on your heart if it helps you to really connect to that place. And connecting with your own wish for health, for happiness, for ease. And just as I want to be happy, so may this second benefactor be happy. Using whatever phrase you've chosen, keeping the same phrase is very beneficial for the concentration, for the continuity. Bringing this second benefactor to heart or mind as an image or a felt sense. And repeating the phrase for this person. Your wishes for their health, happiness, ease, whatever it is that you use as your phrase. Connect yourself, center, this second benefactor, and the phrase. moment to moment, returning to this cultivation of kindness. Repeating the phrase at a pace that is comfortable for you, that allows you to connect with the heart, then the person, then the phrase, one after another. Finding that natural pace and repeating the phrase over and over again. Planting this metta garden, planting those seeds of kindness. We'll continue in silence. Please know if you encounter difficulty, you can always return to either the first benefactor or yourself. Stay with where it's easy. If this is difficult, if you encounter a real challenge, don't feel pushed to go any faster than you naturally can. And of course, when these visitors arise, whatever they are, acknowledge, let them be in the background if you can. Just continue to do the simple metta practice. Returning again and again, if you've wandered off, beginning as many times as you need to. May my benefactor be well, happy, and peaceful. No matter how much metta we feel, whether it's none at all or quite a lot, just keep going. One phrase, one moment at a time. Coming now to the end of the sitting. Remember to keep that connection with the cultivation of kindness as you open your eyes. Adjust your posture. So I see Aria has joined us. Welcome. And now is time if anybody has any questions. But before I do, I want to remind you the instructions for your practice for the next 24 hours is basically the same as yesterday. Using this second benefactor instead of the first one. But also remembering what we were talking about yesterday, not to be rigid or fixed. If you encounter difficulty, you can always return to an easier category or person. When I say encounter difficulty, I mean real, you know, intense difficulty where you try and you try and you try and you just don't have any traction with the metta. So feel free if you need to go to yourself or to the first benefactor if it's easier to do that. In the sitting, in the walking, staying with this benefactor, second benefactor, any general activities, you can go to all beings or whomever you're encountering, really with that free flow of metta, responding naturally to whatever conditions are arising that you're dealing with, whatever work you're doing, whatever people you're encountering. So with that, I want to go on to questions if anybody has any.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.